relationships, parenting, faith. Discover books that will help you grow. The Wednesday Bookmark is brought to you by BooksForChrist.com.
Joining us this week for the Wednesday Bookmark is Sherry Hunter. Sherry is a marketing professional who previously served as a producer for Detroit's national news affiliates, including CBS and NBC. She's also a freelancer for several daily newspapers and a popular keynote speaker. Sherry loves to demonstrate that living outside of our comfort zones helps us discover amazing things about ourselves, even if those acts aren't as extreme as jumping out of an airplane at 14,000 feet. We're going to talk this morning about her book, Daring to Live, How the Power of Sisterhood and Taking Risks Can Jumpstart Your Joy. Thanks so much for your time this morning, Sherry.
Thank you, Brock. Great to be here.
Let's start by talking about the initial development of what you came to call the Dare Divas, as well as that very first whitewater rafting adventure that you embarked on together. How did all of that come to be?
Well, there's four of us Dare Divas, Mia, Brenda and Anjanette, and we were all serving in our church, and Mia came to church and said, let's go whitewater rafting. And we're looking at her like, why? I, for one, didn't know how to swim. So the idea of getting a boatload of water that's crashing against rocks was kind of like, why are we doing that? But it was quite an adventure. It scared me to death. I'm not a naturally brave person, but the fact that I was with my girlfriends and we were trying to, you know, just do something different. And that's how it all started.
I want to talk about some of these adventures. And man, do you embark on a lot of adventures that are talked about in the book here. But we need to bring it down just for a moment anyway. You experienced something in, I guess it was August of 2012, right?
Yes.
Truly devastating in your personal life. Tell us what happened.
So my husband, we had been together for 25 years. I'd known him since I was 10 years old, and he was a 15-year-old teenager. He died suddenly of a heart attack right next to me in our bed as he was waking up in the morning. And got to see him take his last breath. It just blew my mind, the whole experience and the suddenness of it. And I found myself crashing. You know, I'm a Christian, but I still found myself questioning God. Like, I was angry with him. I was like, this isn't, I don't even know who you are. And but my girlfriends, the Dare Divas, they were there, and they were really demonstrating to me the power of friendship, but also the power of showing that, you know, God still loved me and that I just had to move forward.
The Dare Divas did tackle numerous dares even before Menard's death, but the first one you did after he passed away was skydiving.
Yes.
How were you feeling heading into that particular adventure in the wake of losing your husband?
It was a surreal experience because I had two children. They were heading to college, and I was at that point not a single parent. I was their only parent. So anything that can happen, you always are feeling vulnerable because I didn't want to leave my kids as orphans, of course. My mother was the voice of reason because she said to me, Sherry, people who are living everyday lives, awful things happen. You know, you could be going to a musical event. You can, you know, be walking down the street and awful things can happen. And she encouraged me to go ahead and do that trip because, as she shared with me, lots of people live when they skydive, and lots of people die in their own beds of a heart attack. Mm. And so that just brought the realization to me that, you know, I have to be cautious, of course. I don't want to just do anything haphazardly. I did my research, and we went with a reputable skydiving company. But I still needed to make sure that I didn't allow myself to get into a position where I was fearful of walking outside my house. Mm. So that was really eye-opening for me.
Just a few months before he died, Menard had spoken to you about wanting to embark on a round-the-world cruise of sorts. Discuss what it was like contemplating the possibility of going on a similar cruise, but without him with you.
Yes. So my husband had this aspiration that when our kids were off on living on their own, we were old and retired, we would do this round-the-world cruise. And he collected all these brochures of all these different cruises. I just thought it was outlandish because, number one, we didn't have the money, and number two, that was a good 20, 30 years away from when we would be able to do so. But when he died suddenly at 50, the realization was clear that we can't wait until you necessarily till you retire in order to do those things that you really love because, number one, there's no guarantee that you would even live to retirement, right? So that was the thing that really crushed me, that the one thing that he really wanted to do that he would not be able to do. And so I then decided that, you know, I was still dealing with the aftermath. My kids were off at college. They were off doing well. And I made the decision that while I couldn't do the round-the-world cruise, I couldn't be gone for 120 days, I did opt to do 65 days. And while I was away, you know, still be in contact with my kids through Skype, check in, and had emergency insurance in case I needed to be back home. But it allowed me the opportunity to, in some way, honor him while also dealing with the fact that I had to use this opportunity in this time to sort of get my mind back into a position of how I was going to live after Menard. And I was hoping this would be a catalyst for that, that this trip would kind of spiral me on to really living the joyful life, even though I had experienced something really horrendous.
At one point, you decided to pass on one of the dares, the NASCAR dare, due to some relational drama within the group at the time.
Right.
What did you learn from those conflicts?
You know, it's so interesting. I really thought about whether I wanted to put that in the book, and my publisher encouraged me to do so because as individuals who are in relationships with friends, we need to kind of identify and understand that we are going to have conflict. And how do we go about addressing conflict and still maintaining those friendships? So what I found is that you have to take ownership in your own part of it. It's not always someone else's fault. Sometimes, most times, there's enough blame to go around. And so it's really important that you communicate how you feel, that you don't distance each other, you don't ghost each other, you don't like, I don't want to talk to you because you made me angry. You have to be bold enough to step up in the relationship and say, you know, this is how you hurt me. You don't use profanity. You don't do anything destructive. You come to them ideally as much as you can in love so that they understand you have boundaries and how you want to be treated going forward. And as human beings in relationships, we should be able to be in a healthy relationship where we can share our boundaries and know that people will respect and honor that, or at least have a conversation so that you can know how to operate in that relationship. So that NASCAR drive really showed me is that, you know, it's okay to give yourself time away from the group or a friend to kind of reflect on it. But at the same time, you still need to have those tough conversations.
Yeah, great thoughts. So you mentioned something to me just before we started recording that's not in the book, but is actually incredibly exciting. What can you drop that upon us? What can you tell us about that?
All right. So February of 2020, I just learned that Paramount Pictures is optioning my book, Daring to Live. They're going to turn it into a film about our friendship, and I'm delighted and excited. Devon Franklin, who is a renowned producer in Hollywood, he was the producer of Breakthrough, which is a film that has produced $50 million worldwide, and he was also involved in the film Jumping the Broom. So we have, excellent leadership in this film, and we're just really excited.
That has got to be a surreal feeling. That's amazing.
It is very surreal. It's hard to even fathom that something like this could happen.
Wow.
But it is happening.
So exciting.
I'm just hoping that people will, really take some inspiration out of it. You know, that's what we're really hoping, that like I had shared earlier, I don't expect anybody to hike Mount Kilimanjaro, but we all have something inside of us that scares us to death, but we should be working towards it. Whatever that might be for you, I say this over and over, you might be a parent of three small children and you want to go back to school and you have no idea how you're going to make that happen. But somehow you reach out to others for assistance, you find scholarships, and you make it happen. It's scary, it's a lot of work, it's frustrating the whole time period, but you make it work. That is your Daring to Live moment. And we all have many of those. It's just whatever that is for you, finding it and having the gumption to go forward and move past that fear.
Beautiful note to end on. Daring to Live, How the Power of Sisterhood and Taking Risks Can Jumpstart Your Joy. Sherry Hunter, our guest this week for the Wednesday Bookmark. Thanks for your time this morning, Sherry.
Thank you, Brock.
To hear this interview again or to discover more great books, visit chri.ca. The Wednesday Bookmark, brought to you by booksforchrist.com. Proudly Canadian, booksforchrist.com.